Let me speak now to Colin Parry. Colin, good morning.
Good morning.
Colin, why exactly have you invited Martin McGuinness to this event?
Well, most years we do try to organise a peace lecture with a notable high-profile speaker. And this year happens to be the 20th anniversary of the Warrington bombing. And back in April, I was doing a documentary programme for the BBC, which involved me interviewing Martin. And at the end of the interview with him, the thought literally popped into my head, without any forethought or planning, that I should invite him to deliver this year's lecture. And he said an immediate yes. And thereafter, we sorted out the details of timings and dates and structure. But I mean, if you ask me why Martin, well, I think he has now become a serious politician. He now operates constitutionally, and he's thrown off his past. And for that reason, as he himself has made a significant transition, as I have had to do, I think it's entirely appropriate that a peace organisation like ours listens to what he has to say.
It's interesting you say that, and also that you've interviewed him, and obviously you've researched Martin McGuinness as well, but it's very easy to find Martin McGuinness on the internet, even within the last 18 months to 2 years, talking at commemoration ceremonies or services in honour of the IRA, and in one in Tyrone about 18 months to 2 years ago, while indeed he was the deputy leader of this country, Martin McGuinness says that he sees IRA bombers as volunteers who answered the call. Now, that call sadly included the killing of your son.
It did. Yes, it did. And clearly, I mean, I understand your question. It doesn't mean I approve of his past in any way, shape or form. I obviously don't, and he would know that. Notwithstanding that, he is now the Deputy First Minister. He is part of a partnership government, which is attempting to bring Northern Ireland into an entirely peaceful situation. And of that, I approve. I don't approve of his past, as you wouldn't expect I would.
But should he be more forthcoming with condemnation of the people who carried out the atrocities instead of appearing at commemoration ceremonies to actually honour them?
Well, that might well be a question that's put to him tonight after he's given his speech. I mean, there is provision for questions and answers. And I dare say he will expect to be challenged by some very serious questions. It might well be he has to face that question. If you're asking me, should he commemorate these people, I would say no, he shouldn't. But again, if you look at the bigger picture rather than the issues about individuals, I still have to accept the fact he is now wedded to constitutional means for change and for making the Northern Irish province a happier and more settled place.
Is it easier for you to extend the hand of friendship than it would be for people here on this side of the Irish Sea? I can't imagine, and people listening to this programme can't really see a time when Martin McGuinness would give a speech at a service or a ceremony remembering the dead at Enniskillen or Lemoine or the Abercorn or the Shankill Fish Shop. But yet and all, he will be able to make that speech tonight in Warrington where two children died.
Good point. I mean, I respect your position that he probably wouldn't be invited to make such a speech at any of those the scene of any of those previous atrocities, and I understand that there is an inherent difference between the situation by and large in Northern Ireland and here. I mean, I know the net effect and the end product was the same, namely there were innocent victims, but of course people in Northern Ireland have lived with this awful tragedy for more than 30 years, and feelings run very deep. I understand all of that, and I'm not in any way disrespecting that. But nonetheless, if you just forgive me going on a moment longer, what we set up is a peace foundation in memory of our son and Jonathan Ball. And the fundamental philosophy behind that is that we will pursue peace building and reconciliation. We will actively do that. And for that reason, this approach to Martin is consistent with that approach we've adopted.
So as we have these Haas talks in Belfast at this present moment, is there a suggestion there that we could actually learn from the Warrington approach? It would help with the healing process.
Well, I don't attempt to teach anybody lessons. I mean, the worst thing I could ever do is get on my high horse and say what I do is a model for everybody. That would be arrogant beyond belief. But, I mean, I would hope that whilst Mr. Haas is in Northern Ireland and looking at issues like parades and flags and all of those things which cause high feelings to re-emerge, that he might engage with us as well. Because I think we're the only English-based organisation, I think, that has a legitimate opinion on you know, peace and reconciliation, especially with regards to Northern Ireland, because we've had so much involvement in the past 20 years with groups and individuals who live and work in Northern Ireland.
And do you find yourself being a friend of Martin McGuinness?
No, I wouldn't say I'm a friend. I mean, I think we can speak to each other civilly, well, we can, and cordially, and without any animosity. So on that basis, if that's the definition of friendship, then maybe, but I think friendship goes much deeper than simply being well-mannered and polite.
But it did help whenever the IRA, through Gerry Adams, apologised to you.
It didn't make a difference of any kind. I mean, no apology could ever eradicate the pain and the suffering we experienced and the loss of a much-loved son. So apologies are meaningless, and I take no account of those. I simply approach the business of our charity on a pragmatic basis, that we have to make serious and significant steps if we are to be a serious player in this business of peace building. I mean, we can't be partisan and decide who we will and won't speak to. It wouldn't work. It would destroy our credibility. So we operate on an open house principle.
But does it help with the healing process, your own personal healing process?
Me. Yes. Well, whether healing is helped or whether sanity, I tend to say it's helped with my sanity. I think I'd have gone criminally insane if, having lost Tim, I'd have done nothing. It's not in my nature to do nothing. So I think the foundation and the Peace Centre we've built have been my road to some kind of redemption. And in light of that, my family has stuck together as well. I know for a fact if this wasn't the route we'd have gone down, the implications for my family would have been extreme, beyond even losing one child.
Colin Parry, I appreciate you taking time out to talk with me this morning. Thanks very much for your time. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's Colin Parry, the father of the late child Tim Parry, killed in the Warrington bomb. You're listening to what he's saying and, of course, putting it in perspective as far as Northern Ireland's concerned. It's always important from our point of view, but do we need to look at it in a wider context? Do you follow through with Colin Parry's analysis of where Martin McGuinness is at this present moment in time? And is it fine for Martin McGuinness, indeed, to be understanding of the hurt and the heartache that the Parry and Ball families went through and other families went through in Warrington, and still at the same time have an understanding of the people who were in the IRA? You can let us know what you think. 90 333 105 077 66 105 105.